Let me take you in for the next 15 to 20 minutes to a realm and a step into receiving things from the place called done. And it won't take me long. Open to Romans 5. From this place called done. And in Romans 5, I have just a little more to add to this. So hang on with me. Thank you for your graciousness, for your word, and for the Holy Spirit and His ministry big in us that causes us to understand and to operate in and causes it to become part of us. And the word being alive. So Paul was probably slicing some of the largest pieces of meat in any of his books. When he began to slice the first chapters of Romans 1, 2, and 3, and 4. I mean, incredible verses. Incredible verses. Hard to understand most of them. And when God gave me the keys to open them up, I found out that there was a Jewish community in Rome. And they were having trouble believing that the swine-eating Gentiles that never kept a day of the law in their life had suddenly entered into the same inheritance that they had. When he began to show me these things, then the scriptures began to line up. Incredible slices of meat. And then we get over to the fifth chapter. And all of a sudden, just like us preachers, Paul just couldn't resist it. He took a little side trail between two slices of meat and slipped you into some of the benefits of being redeemed. See? And so when I picked up on this, I thought, oh, goodness. I thought, goodness, you just laid it out just as plain as you can lay it out. How that when tribulation hits, that my first response is important. How I end my journey up into this place called done. So he begins this little side trail right here in 5:1. He's saying, now look, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but did you notice this? He said, we glory in tribulation also. Now that glory in tribulation didn't say for them. He said, you glory when you find yourself in them. Well, he says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations, they worketh patience, and patience, it goes out and employs experience, and experience goes out and employs the kind of hope that makes not ashamed, because somewhere in that process the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, isn't this incredible? He said, look, we glory in our tribulations also, because we know this. At the entry level of any tribulation, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be glorying in them, not for them. but in them. And if I'm not glorying for them, but in them, then what am I glorying in? I'm already went to the end of the problem, and I have given myself to the glory and the worship of God for the answer to the problem, which He has provided for me in the Father, which is that place called done. So the moment tribulation comes, I begin to glory, give worship and praise and glorify God right in the middle of them. For what? For that place called done. And I love it.
Well, what does He do with you?
He'll pick you up by His hands, and He'll take His grace, and He'll take you where the victory over here is, past all those things He named, and drops you off at done. This is where it was done for you on the cross. And then after He drops you off in the victory, He goes back and gets you and then walks you through to it. Ooh, well, what causes Him to deposit me over there in the place called done? What you do the moment you enter in to the tribulation. For what did He say? For tribulation worketh patience. Better wording would be tribulation employs. Employs patience. But the only way that tribulation will employ patience, if you're doing the right thing in the tribulation. Otherwise, the kind of patience tribulation will employ, if you're not doing the right thing in it, is you'll still be patient when they bury you. He was a patient man. Yes. Yes. The tribulation worked the wrong kind of patience. The only way it works the right kind of patience, if the patience it's working goes out and employs experience. How do I make my patience employ experience? By doing the right thing. The moment the tribulation enters, I begin to worship God and glorify Him in the tribulation. Why? Because it employs the right kind of patience, and the patience goes out and employs the right kind of experience. What kind of experience? The kind that works the Word. It tells me that it's already done, because you've done it before, you'll do it again. Besides that, I've already been dropped off in the place called done. So now let's take confession. Let's take confession another step in this, for patience employs experience. And experience hope. The kind of hope He's talking about, the kind that makes you not ashamed, is the kind that says, now faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for, and it's all the evidence I need of the thing I cannot see. Whew. Now let's think about faith for a minute. Oh, I love this. In Romans 10, keeping this part in mind, that there was a Jewish community, and Paul was presenting no uncertain case that these Gentiles, which never kept a word of the law in their life, had suddenly come into inheritance. So he described the two kind of righteousness, one which was of the law and the righteousness which was by faith. And this is why he was defining the two. He said, the righteousness which is by faith says, say not in thine heart, who will ascend into heaven, bring Christ down from above, who will ascend into deep, that is death, and raise Him from the dead again. What says faith that's of righteousness? The word of God's nigh thee, it's in your mouth. The word that we speak, if you'll confess. Well, not only your salvation, he said you'll be saved. But he went on to talk about how beautiful the feet are of all of those who carry the glad tidings, plural, of the gospel. And he's talking about every other thing that the cross has purchased for you. So when he said, we're not supposed to say in our heart, who's going to ascend into heaven, bring Christ down from above, who'll ascend into the deep and to raise him from the dead again. He said, we're not supposed to say that. I didn't even know why, because I didn't know what it meant. I just knew we were not supposed to say it. And well, when I found out what it meant, because he was fluctuating between the two to prove the case of the Gentile, he explained righteousness, which was by faith. And when he explained righteousness, which is by faith, every year the high priest had to offer the same sacrifice behind the holiest of holies. He said if he had stopped, there would have had to have been no more memory of sin. What he was saying, that God's not going to send Jesus. He's not going to send him down again and crucify him every year and raise him from the dead every year to provide salvation for you, to provide healing, to provide victory. Faith, which is righteousness, says don't say in your heart, because he's not going to come and provide it for you. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to stop and accept that one single time that he provided salvation, your righteousness, your healing. One of the ways a person does that is you take the Word of God and you begin to discipline yourself to say what He said about you instead of the circumstances or the problem. So when you receive the glad tidings, you know that He already provided healing for you, so He's not going to come and do it again. So you might as well make up your mind that He's not going to come and provide it again. So you might as well receive what He's already done. So confession is a very powerful thing, because you start saying, oh no, you don't. No, you don't. You're not going to kill me, disease. He already died under the sick and my penalties, pains. And you can't kill me with this. He already suffered and died. I'm not taking it. And there's confession teaching that's out of this world. It causes you to line your thinking and your mouth up with that one time finished work. When he taught me private worship, he taught me how to take it a step further. As even in me walking the floor, forcing things to change. Oh, there was a fight with my mind and a fight with my body and the different things I changed in it. But when he taught me the private worship, that's when this chapter really came alive. Why? With my mind, I was fighting quite the fight, knowing with my spirit the Word says it's true, so it must be true. But when He taught me the private worship, a transition began to take place, where the joy of the Lord really became my strength. What a difference to take the Word of God and to know it and to speak it, feeling His pleasure and His joy and celebrating the position that Christ attained for us from a place called done. This is why He says when tribulations come, we glory in them. The first sign of tribulation will hit you and it says things are going to be this way for you. He says tribulation, it employs patience. And if you're doing the right thing in the tribulation, then it employs the right kind of patience. And the patience goes out and employs experience. And all the time, I'm combining a private worship with His Word that goes something like this. You're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your Word above your name, and I have what I say. Therefore, I call myself healed. Do you hear me, devil? I call myself healed, and with all my heart, I want to thank you for loving me and providing this place for me. 2,000 years ago when I was yet your enemy, hallelujah, I glorify you, I praise you, and I magnify you. And I'll position myself in the other end of the train, in the place called Don, and where I used to have an analytical confession, now I'm glorifying and magnifying the person who redeemed you in the holy place that He provided it for us in the Father. I went from a clinical operation to the person who's doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm magnifying the person in the position that He gave me, that the words describing called on.
Hallelujah.
Well, when I, jumped in the prayer closet, I ended up laying on the floor. He said, "You don't know nothing about worship." And he told me how long to stay in and not less than this. And blah, blah, blah. And so he knew that I'd follow His commandment when I knew it was Him. And He made no mistake that I knew it was Him, because He slayed me out in the power. Nobody was 15 feet of me. I landed on the floor. He said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "No mistake. This is no mistake." He said, "You know nothing about worship." And I thought I did. I read everybody's book. Said, "You don't know nothing about worship." I said, "I'm fasting." He said, "Fasting?" He said, "I didn't tell you not to. Fasting can't give you what this kind of worship does. But neither can this kind of worship give you what fasting does." He went on through the things, and he said, "You'll do this." And I thought to myself, what's a good reason to break the fast? I'm hungry. So I went in my sound booth. Every time I'd make an excuse for something, Tim would go and remedy it. Like I said, "Boy, I could do tapes a whole lot better if I had a sound room." Next day, he pounds up this big styrofoam sound room. It's been replaced by a carpenter's version. But you should have seen the old styrofoam sound booth. Just constructed this pure styrofoam. And they painted it, I think, green so it wouldn't, kill you. And my brother, Steve, Donner, they like it when I carry a styrofoam cup. It offsets my legs. I like to carry one too. It makes my legs look darker. So Tim, he just constructs this thing in a couple of days and then hands me the microphone again. Now what excuse do I have? That was the one I used to go in and begin this. My sound room. So I went in, and the first time in, I closed the lights and turned the door off. And I don't care how holy you are, no positions hold up after so many hours. I just laid down. So I laid down and began. Turned the lights off because I wanted to be me, myself, and I. And it was. So I laid in there. And first it was glorious because it was very short, terms of not like weeks and weeks. So I go in there and I go, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory." Did you let yourself have music? I let myself have nothing. Just me and Him.
Why didn't you want music?
I didn't want nothing. I wanted to break into a pure vein of worship with just me and Him.
Why?
What if you get thrown in prison, chained up between Oga and Uga, who don't shave their legs? And every time you go, "I love you, Jesus," they hit you with a chain. Now, is that conducive to worship? I wanted to break in. Well, I did fine for a while. And I have to tell you, He let me run the full course so that I could teach. But I did fine for a while. I made the times that I was supposed to do. It was, I had the attitude. Do you worship? I do. Yeah. Do you? There's a certain worshipper's walk, you know. Oh, it didn't take real long. I wore all patient levels out for private worship. All patience levels. And I'm laying there. Every once in a while, I'll look at my watch, you know. And I'm thinking, must have been in here a couple of hours. Yeah, right, try 10 minutes. So I'm in there and it's just dragging. I'm checking my watch, but I'm faithful. I'm saying, hallelujah. Glory, I love you. I really love, got drier and drier as time went by. I said, no, I really love you. Really, I do. Rally. I do. And they got flatter and flatter. And we've been through this before, but we're linking it in with confession. It literally felt like my words were spatulate flat. Went straight to the floor. And you'd have to get a spatula and try to throw them up to heaven. Didn't work. They were so flat. And sometimes it'd be long times like that. And I'd just land in there going, I love you, I glorify you, I worship. My own mind was over here building this and solving that problem. But I kept my mouth running through those times. Hallelujah. I said, I love lip service, you know. I love you, I glorify you. But then he started coming. And when he started coming, he started staying longer. And I didn't have the fight that I had with my mind. He stayed longer and longer. And you'll know the teaching. I saw a pond that a rock landed in, and the waves went from the rock and they filled a pond. And I said, what's that first wave? And he said, that's when your spirit is permeated. And I said, the second one? He said, the soul. There'll be a baptism of senses. It's right there, but the pendulum is tilted from generic, sterile circumstances that are so perfect in stopping you. Suddenly there's a sense invasion, a baptism of senses over onto God's side of the fence. And you start looking at the natural different than you used to. Because as you become aware of His presence in your walk on you, aware of Him, even in your senses. And I saw another wave and I said, what's that? He said, geographical. It starts filling the geography. And for you avid ones that's taken this walk of absolute power, I have the next thing that's going to happen. I know what's going to come next now. And I'll get to teach on it. Some. To hear. I worshipped, and it wasn't until I was on the other side of it, past all the dry flesh. Do you have any now? I enjoy so much to have my hands and get them here, and I can't even get them here. Then what is? Which was what came. Comes. It has healing in it too. Boy, I love that part. But moving on. After I come out the other side, I wanted to know what caused the driest of dry times. You know, why did it get so dry? And the reason it got so dry that after a while, God would retreat to the place where I was really walking. And it'd hang out there and leave me underneath my flesh. So I'm going, hallelujah, I love you, I glorify you, just the way problems will. They'll leave you under a mountain of flesh that you just, all the strength you muster, you can't seem to move it. And he went, I couldn't stop. It was ordered. I couldn't stop. So I kept going, hallelujah, I love you. And I'd be under a mountain of flesh, this little voice crying out, I love you. I chose my own battleground. I didn't know what I was doing, but I chose my own battleground. I didn't know I fought through all the different kinds of flesh that take your emotions for the ride that brings you to destruction. See? It was setting on me, and my voice in there crying, I love you, hallelujah. And it got thinner and thinner because I wouldn't stop. God had come around visit, and then I'd go back, and it got thinner and thinner and thinner. And one day, he didn't go home. Well, immediately after that, he began to teach me some of those things I was talking about this morning, why preachers fall. He began to teach me those things from being on this side of knowing him like I've never known him before. And when he began to teach me those things, I started understanding statements like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But he was showing me things, and I was understanding them and receiving them about him that seemed to fill him. I mean, I could feel his pleasure so strong. And not long ago, I found out that what I was really feeling was the joy of the Lord that translates out into strength. So knowing this, when you enter into a tribulation, he said, we joy in these tribulations. Begin to worship God and glorify the person of Jesus Christ for procuring such a final place in the Father with His blood and grace. I'm using the word, but now I'm beginning to magnify the person of the word. And He, this patience that's employed by worshiping Him in the middle of tribulation starts working the experience that goes out and employs the hope. And the whole time, instead of being dismayed and throwing my arms up and getting desperate, the joy of the Lord is sustaining me through His strength because I did the right thing at the entry level of the testing and tribulation.
Hallelujah.
So tribulation worked patience, and patience went out and employed experience. Strong meat belongeth to those who by reason of use, that is of the word, the strong meat of the word, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Patience began to employ experience. And experience went out and employed hope and started filling it up with the substance of faith until a bursting took place of the love of God that went wall to wall on the inside of my spirit. And you can just forget it. By that point, it is done and coming to pass. Don't you? Then Paul goes right back in to the meat. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And in that all have sinned. And until the law, sin was in the world. Sin's not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned over those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Got that? Look at God. But he stopped to slice off some victory and then went on with the foundations of why. Well, this has revolutionized my confession. That I'll go in there, and now that I'm learned, I'll pray in tongues, and it'll be interwoven with speaking and moving some mountain. And then the worshiping of the person by fastening him in that place that he's procured for me by the blood and grace, and worship him and thanking him and glorifying him. The joy of the Lord sustaining me through the whole process becomes impossible not to believe that this thing is done. How many is going to worship God a teeny more than you used to? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. What a day. Now you can understand some of my excitement when I approach a problem. the more worse and more impossible it looks, the more excited I get. Hallelujah, Jesus. For not only so do we glory in glory, but we glory in tribulations too. Not for the tribulation, but for the answer that He says I have for them in the other end. Devil said, I'd like to slap that smug look off your face. What do you know? Obviously something you don't, you failure. Hallelujah. Why? Why, when the joy of the Lord can become your strength, will you take counsel from the devil? That's that hopeless feeling that comes in when you look at all your bills and how much money you have. Oh, who is me, despair upon despair? This hopeless feeling, you know. So one time he said, look, if I was to open your eyes, did you know that many times that hopeless feeling that ushers in has a person attached to it? Only not the flesh kind. And you give him preeminence because you start worshiping failure along with this thing. And so the angel steps back and says, well, I guess they're having church. Why wouldn't a person let the joy become their strength in sustaining them, working experience until receiving? Times in receiving will get shorter and shorter and shorter when the joy is your strength. So that thing comes in, you know, and he said many times there's a person attached to it. He said, why are you going to take counsel from someone that communicates? I mean, the ears of your spirit can pick it up when he goes, failure, failure, failure. These feelings of failure go, God isn't going to help you. Look at this. There's no answer. Despair. Despair. I need some kind of sedative. Now, why do you want to agree with something like that? Especially when there's a way to rise up above it. Where the joy of the Lord really will inhabit your sanctuary and baptize all three of those areas, including geography. Besides, don't you know you're taking counsel from someone who went against God in the beginning and doesn't have the final say-so? So what you need to do is say, devil, please, please, I want to be nice to you for a minute. You need counseling. Sit down. Sit down, devil. Now, you rebelled against God when you knew Him. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. You couldn't have known the evil without knowing the good. You're so stupid. You rebelled against God. And you want me to take financial counseling from somebody as dumb as you? Have you read the end of the Bible? You do read, don't you? We win. Did you notice that? You go to eternal torment. We go to the glories of heaven prepared for us from the foundation of the world. So watch this. You don't mind me using my French, do you? Watch this, Mr. DeVille. Watch this. I'm going to turn my back on you. And I'm going to walk away. And I am going to fasten myself at the end of this thing. And you're going to leave. And you're never coming back into my geography. Do you got that? You got that? So if you're not gone, I am going to employ a whole lot of the blood and everything else all. Everything I heard any grandma say with a bun on her head, I'm going to use on you. So, have a bad time. You will be shocked when you speak directly to the despairing, hopeless, almost substance to it feeling. things, how they'll respond like they were a person. Have you ever got down so low you didn't want to?
I
want to
revel. I want to revel in it. Who is me? Please feel sorry for me. I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't trust you. You don't know how they're treating me.
Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you get to the place where He really begins to teach you, and His joy becomes stronger and stronger. It won't matter what the devil pulls or what kind of catastrophe seems to be confronting you. The joy will hold. It will hold. And it will translate to your strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! So stand up.